Columbus.
Good evening, I'm Nate Putterball, their sports update. This afternoon, the Columbus Blue Jackets confirmed the passing of Bill Davidge at age 72. Bill spent two decades with the club as the longtime color analyst for both television and radio, as well as scout for the organization. He was also the first ever varsity coach of Miami, Ohio's hockey program. College baseball this afternoon saw Ohio State keep their season alive, beating Rutgers 3-2 in the Big Ten tournament. Pierce Herrenbrook pitched the first complete game in the tournament in 2 years. They face either Washington or Michigan tomorrow night at 7. Afternoon baseball saw the Reds beat the Phillies 9-4, handing Phillies interim manager Don Mattingly his first series loss. NBA playoffs tonight see that San Antonio looking to go up 2-0 on OKC. And in the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Golden Knights are at the Colorado Avalanche to begin the West Finals. This update brought to us by BMI Federal Credit Union. Go to Best Credit Union for the past 8 years in a row by CBUS Top Picks. Visit BMIFCU.org to learn more. Breaking sports news, weapons to the fan.
Bring it up for Ohio State.
You've waited all day for this.
Don't let that team steal it away.
He's going to take it to the house. 85 yards. Down the right side going. Devin Smith got it at the 5 and into the end zone. Touchdown.
The one show that's nothing but the Buckeyes.
Oh! Grand Rucker for the touchdown. Kraft shoots it high on the right for 3. Yes!
This is the Buckeye Show.
Off and rolling here on a Wednesday. I am Brandon Beam hanging out with our guy. He is Justin Zwick. We got Nate Dogg behind the glass this evening. Jay-Z, happy rainy, cold Wednesday to you and the beautiful Columbus, Ohio, my friend. What's going on? Good to talk to you.
It's good to be talked to, but what a terrible day outside. I have had the shivers all day long with this damp, cool weather that we had after 80 degrees, it felt like yesterday.
Yeah, 90 degrees, yeah. 80 degrees. I mean, we'd been living high on the hog.
We've been living large here. We had a couple 80-degree days in April early on, yeah. So we were getting a little taste of, you know, what's to come, and then they rip it away from you.
I did.
Yeah, in like a day. It's just like, come on.
Cold and rainy.
But, you know, hey, it's a Wednesday in the spring. School's about to be out, and kids are about to be on summer break. Hopefully the football team's getting back to campus here in the next week or so. I don't know when they have to come back, but
yeah, they'll be back.
You know,
some things
are starting to happen. You know, summertime always goes fast. It's always a good time of year. Best time of year in Ohio.
I would say post Memorial Day. They'll get back at some point next week. See some of those guys rattling around for the Memorial Tournament. So I know that they'll be back.
They'll be back for that. Yes.
In Columbus for the Memorial, which takes place 2 weeks from tomorrow. Which is always the unofficial start of summer, I feel like, the Memorial Tournament here in Central Ohio. So very much looking forward to that. Was there any better feeling, though, like growing up? So, I mean, I know that, you know, your daughters are going through it right now. You said your youngest, her last day is tomorrow, or was it today?
Today she has a little picnic or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Something fun.
Was there anything better than growing up and getting into, like, the last week, last day of school, and just knowing, like, that summer was right around the corner? And that you were just going to be free for a little bit. And I know that it was
good old days.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, once you get into high school and everything, you start playing sports and, you know, your summers are really accounted for. Summer mornings, summer afternoons, summer evenings. But yeah, God, that last week of school was always just the best feeling.
It was
like growing up, knowing that you had completed another year. And even though you probably went crazy during the summer, we're looking forward to going back to school by the time the end of summer rolled around. That first week of summer vacation was just always pinnacle, like, childhood experience.
Yeah, not having to set an alarm or worry about waking up early. I mean, it's they're excited about it. You know, it's so funny, though, after the entire school year, my daughter on Monday falls asleep on the way home from school, wakes up, tells grandma, I'm just not used to school days yet. You just had a whole year of them. What are you talking about? It's Monday.
Listen here, I wasn't used to them, and I did 16 years of school days.
I'm still not used to
it. Yeah, I'm not either. God, 7 o'clock. But, what is Willie? What are you doing up at 7 o'clock? Go back to bed. I will say the one unintended good consequence about it being rainy and cloudy this morning is that the big dog did sleep in till like 8:15, which was a major win for everybody. Yeah,
music to my ears. Yeah. Like kids sleeping in past 8 o'clock.
Yeah, I'm like, what is, like, I had to turn, like, check the monitor.
Is everything okay?
Like, is he breathing in there? Because usually it's like 6:45, 7 o'clock. He's up, he's yelling, he's ready to go. And then he went upstairs. He's like, oh, hey, look, Benjamin's still sleeping. And he's like shaking the bassinet. I'm like, yeah, he's still sleeping, man. Leave him alone. Leave him alone. Leave him alone. 2 minutes later, hey, look, he's up.
He's awake.
Yeah, I wonder why. Yeah. I wonder why he's awake. But yeah, unintended consequences of the rain are pretty good. We got a great show lined up for you here this evening. Austin Ward's going to join us coming up here at 6:17. We'll talk some Buckeyes with him. We'll effort Joshua Perry coming up here at 6:30 this evening. Which team, I want you to be thinking about this. All right. Last week we did like, I tiered off the Big Ten teams for everyone. And I want you to be thinking about this. Nate, you as well. Which Big Ten teams are we in on and which Big Ten teams are we out on for the upcoming 2026 season? We'll do that coming up at 6:46. Get into the Pulse at 7 o'clock. And then Spencer Holbrook of Letterman Row, he's going to join us coming up here at 7:30. You know, Jay-Z, I did a show with you, I believe it was last Monday or a couple of Mondays ago. I don't know. Time flies when you're having fun. You're like, hey, did you see the, you know, the American Football Coaches Association come out like in support of the 2014 playoff? I'm like, we're not going to get there. All it's been this week from the Big Ten spring meetings has just been 2014 playoff, 2014 playoff, 2014 playoff. And so this came out today. I was reading this from ESPN, one of like the five outlets that got to cover the Big Ten spring meetings in Rancho Palos Verdes, California. Here's what Tony Petitti had to say about the 16-team college football playoff compared to the 24. We've had zero conversation about 16. Plan B is what we have now. We would stay with what we have now. So there's not even an ongoing discussion. Whether
like they didn't
or not
even bring up the possibility of, hey, what if we everybody wants to go to 16?
And I always thought, like in my natural, you know, at least progression that, okay, it's 16 teams. That's probably what you're going to go to. And then it'll be a few years. You'll mess around and then you'll go to 24. So it doesn't seem like that's the case. And we know that Greg Sankey and the SEC are hell bent on staying at 12, which I said this on last night's show. And I will say it again. I'm for go SEC in that fact, because I think it's the most competitive with 12. Thought the four was fine. I don't know why you skipped eight to go to 12, but you're at 12 now and it seems to be working out pretty good. Here's also what Tony Petitti had to say. When I was at Major League Baseball, we never had to convince anybody that keeping more teams in the race is better for everybody and the fans. Like, we never had to do that. I feel like in this space, like, we're kind of being asked to do that. It's almost counterintuitive. I think that the more teams alive as late as possible is a fundamental way that I thought about it when we're changing the playoff schedule. The only difference between Major League Baseball and college football is that one league you play 162 games and the other league you play 12. And the whole argument about expanding the college football playoff to 24 teams is that you are going to devalue the regular season. You have 162 data points in Major League Baseball to make sure that you're in the playoffs. Come college football time, come the fall, Justin, you've got 12 of them. And if you expand to 24, we'll see 8-4 teams on a regular basis get into the college football playoff.
Yeah, I agree, and I don't like it as well, but it doesn't sound like from that article money-wise, which, I mean, we all know what's pushing any of this, correct, right? I mean, it's all about money.
Always has.
It always has been, which is probably why we skipped right past 8 and went to 12, because, you know, there's just, they were going to get more money for this deal that, or whatever deal they put in place with the TV rights. And, you know, if you're getting rid of them, what do they say, $200 million if you get rid of the Big Ten or the championship games that you'd be losing. So going to 16 probably doesn't cover that if you want to have that. Not, I guess I didn't see in there. If we stay at 12, are we still getting rid of?
No,
it plays as normal.
Everything stays.
So you have your championship games just
conference
like we have.
Championship
this
weekend
past year.
Is normal. Yep. Army, Navy is normal.
Yeah, so everything stays the same there. Yeah. So, I mean, if you move and get more teams, I can understand with money being the only thing that really matters, you got to have the 24 to try and make up that money you're going to lose from those championship weekends. I just don't like it at all. I don't think, I mean, I don't know if you can say, all right, we're going to go 24 teams, but if you have four losses, you can't get in. I mean, like, how do you keep it?
But that eliminates.
Yes, I know. You can't. Yeah, you can't do it.
And with the Big Ten and the SEC having to agree on something in order for this change to happen, to go to 24 teams, teams who are 8-4 and getting in the college football playoff would only benefit Big Ten and SEC teams. Like an 8-4 ACC team is not likely getting in the college football
playoff. Yeah, and then what games at the end of the year from, all right, so say you're the 24th ranked team and you're playing somebody not ranked, you beat them, do you move up to 22? I mean, is that what he's talking about? Oh, no, you're going to still play that game. It really matters to you because you're going to move up to 22 if you beat an unranked team. Like, those games are still not going to move the needle or matter, I would think, in a lot of cases.
I think, and we'll ask Austin here when he comes on with us in a couple of minutes, but I think it was Bill Connolly of ESPN, like, put out like the actual matchups, what a 2014 playoff would have looked like last year. And you had USC and Virginia in the first round. I'm like, I pass. I'm good. Mm-hmm. I don't, I don't need to watch USC and Virginia in a playoff
now
game.
What they know is that we will watch.
Yeah, yes.
That's what they know about us, is we will yell and complain about things.
Like Gollum with the ring. I need it. I want it. I gotta have it.
And you just lost me there. But
Nate got it.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, just keep it at 12. You don't need to just flood this thing with teams that aren't going to have a shot. You know, I don't think USC, I mean, I think they would smoke Virginia last year.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they have a chance of going much, much further than that, you know, just based off of what they had. And
I mean, Tulane was the 24th ranked team in the country last year, and they got into the playoffs, right? And it was a great season by Tulane, and they got in the playoffs in the way that it's written in the college football playoff rules, like the highest ranked group of four, non-group of four mm-hmm. champion is going to get into the playoffs, right? Like, so they were ranked 24th. What happened in that first game?
Mm.
Got slaughtered. Mm. Got slaughtered. And so... Why
now, maybe they'll say, well, if we'd have played, what would they have played in the new? It would have been
nine. Team nine.
Yeah, team nine.
Whoever so. Team nine would have. I don't know.
It wouldn't matter. Let's just say what it is.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have mattered.
No, it wouldn't.
It just comes back to the money. This is the only reason that they would want to be doing this. Maybe understanding like championship games at the end of the year aren't maybe the best for this situation, having 12 teams, so maybe there's a reason they want to kind of get rid of that and get move on from that. But other than that, there's no other reason than we're going to make more money if we do this.
Yeah, I mean,
because they don't really care about an 8-4 team getting in to play to have a chance to win a playoff game when they're not going to have a chance to really win a national championship.
I remember you and I sitting here doing the show the Wednesday before the Big Ten championship game, and like I think the overwhelming thought going into Ohio State versus Indiana in Indianapolis. Last year in the first weekend of December, it's like, all right, this is great. Like, you're playing for the number one seed. Both teams are going to get a bye. Nobody's going to get too fired up about it. Win, loss, draw. What happened after that game? Everybody was fired up about it. Everybody was on pins and needles about the way Ohio State performed, and that kind of followed over to the way that they played against Miami. So I'm with you on that. And also, you had 20 million people watch Ohio State and Indiana in that Big Ten championship game, which was quote-unquote meaningless.
Yeah, it was. It was meaningless, but on the flip side of that, you had an Indiana team who's never done this before, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that brought a lot of viewers, a lot of eyeballs to the game, just because all season long they were undefeated, and, you know, what they were able to do. Yeah, like, all right, we're going to find out this weekend against Ohio State if they're real, and, you know, they were. We still have screenshots of us being inside the 10-yard line
multiple
times and coming away with nothing, so, I mean, we kind of shot ourselves in the foot there, but... That story last year, and it's going to continue. I mean, that game when we go to Indiana this year.
Oh, it's going to be great.
That'll be huge, huge numbers.
It's the biggest home game they've ever had.
1,000%. So, I don't know. This whole 24 thing, I like how the Big Ten is basically saying we're either going to stay here or we're going to go for the gusto.
Just fine. I'm going for 12.
Yeah.
Stay at 12.
Yeah, stay at 12. I'd be one. And I'm kind of happy that SEC is like putting their foot down a little bit because you know
too.
What? Thank you for being the voice of reason in a way.
Thank you, Greg.
The downstream thing no one is talking about with all this, you know, with the rush to go to 24, they're already having to fit crap teams into bowl games at the end of the year because they can't find teams good enough to play. Yeah. Now we're taking away another 15 teams away from the bowl games. I'm waiting for like 3-10 teams to get in the bowl games next year. They're not getting rid of any of them to expand the playoffs.
Well, no way, Nate. I mean, financial dollars are tied to those bowl games, but they are meaningless.
Totally. Well, I mean,
meaningless games.
It went from having, you know, the bowl games that you tried to get to, and that was your, prize at the end of the year to
year six.
There's 35 of them. We got to find all these teams to play for them. Just win six games, please, and we'll put you in a bowl game.
I feel so good about like winning six games.
Like, why?
Now you're 2-10.
Now, yeah.
Welcome. Let's get ready to
the Tax Slayer Bowl. Here we go.
Pinstripe Bowl, buddy. Austin Ward, he's going to join the program. We'll talk some Buckeyes with him next. It's the Buckeye Show on The Fan.
To 971thefan.com to listen on demand and subscribe to all our podcasts. Wasting time has never been easier. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
I love the neighborhood where I grew up, but it was tough.
Ohio State National Championship quarterback and former CareSource kid, Cardale Jones.
Football helped me find my direction, but I also needed the right support system. Seeing that CareSource heart around town, I just knew they had my back. That's the kind of difference they still make in neighborhoods like mine. This is so much more than health insurance. CareSource, today and always, trusted. Visit CareSource.com.
Buckeye fans, this is for you. Level up with the brand new AAA Buckeyes MVP membership. You'll receive all the benefits of AAA, such as 24/7 roadside assistance, plus chances to win tickets to Ohio State sporting events, access to exclusive MVP experiences, along with 10% off select gear at the Ohio State Team Shop. Already a AAA member? Add the Buckeyes MVP membership for free. Head to AAA.com/Buckeyes to upgrade or join the squad and put your fandom in drive.
Hey, Ohio State fans, next time that snack craving hits, Burger King has you covered with the O Fry O Bundle. You get a medium fry, 8-piece chicken fries, 8-piece mozzarella fries, and an 8-piece chicken nuggets, all for just $10. It's perfect snack fuel for one, wherever and whenever you're cheering on the Scarlet and Gray. At BK, have it your way. You rule. Limited time only at participating Ohio area restaurants. BK is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Tax extra.
Hello, I'm Ross Bjork, Senior Vice President and Eugene Smith Wolf Foundation Endowed Athletics Director at The Ohio State University. In partnership with AEP, Donato's, Kroger, The Ohio State University, Wexner Medical Center, Huntington, and 10TV, Ohio State Athletics strives to inspire the community to make a positive impact on children and families in our great state through the Buckeyes Care Initiative. Show and share your support in the community by using the hashtag #BuckeyesCare.
We at The Fan have created a show where you can be a homer, a hater, or whatever you want to be. Sunday mornings at 8.
It's The Fan Call-In Show, presented by The Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
Modern Office Methods, your authorized Ricoh dealer, can help your business optimize your print production with a competitive advantage. Our digital printing options will expand the type of paper and substrates from what your business can print on today. Add variable data capability, which allows for personalization of catalogs and mailers, and the ability for short-run label printing, which allows your business to print high volumes of custom labels quickly and on demand. Want to learn more? Start with a print assessment at momnet.com. Why risk it? You can count on Mom.
Relax and let Kroger Pickup handle your grocery shopping this week. We start with only the freshest items, then choose your favorites. Carefully pack everything up and load it right into your trunk so you can feel confident it's what you ordered. Fresh groceries your way with Kroger Pickup and Delivery. And right now, you can save $20 on your first pickup or delivery order. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Well, gradually turning drier overnight into Thursday morning across central Ohio. On Thursday, turning sunny, a dry day, but still cool with low 70s across central Ohio. On Friday, dry in the morning, and then a high chance of rain afternoon and Friday night into Saturday morning. That is your 97.1 The Fan weather forecast. I'm 10 Weather Impact Chief Meteorologist Chris Tomer.
It's time for your daily dose of vitamin B. B stands for Buckeyes, just in case that wasn't clear. You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
Hey, now, my guy Justin Zwick here this evening. Thanks, everybody, for watching, for listening. Right now, we head up to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline, checking with a guy who's going to be with us tomorrow evening. He is Austin Ward, A-Ward Sports. Happy Wednesday to you. I bet you're glad you got your round of golf in yesterday instead of today, buddy.
I'm not sure that we could have managed that today. What a crazy stretch of weather. That's Beamer. I think how I've started to realize how old I am is that I just am fascinated by the weather, and I check the updates, and maybe I'm catching up with old Brim Cantori with trying to figure out when it's going to rain and how much it's going to rain. And I just check the forecast for what it's going to be like in New Braunfels this weekend. Now I'm starting to truly feel old, although my body is also making me feel old because walking 18 holes yesterday, I don't feel as fresh as I would like.
Does that mean you were carrying a lot of swings around that golf course yesterday? What's that? What's that total look like?
I don't know what you mean, Justin. That doesn't. But when you play matches, you don't worry about that, right? You just try and win, and that happened. Okay.
Austin played his own ball yesterday.
Wow, Justin. Own ball, no two-man scramble, huh? Well, how the commission feels about that.
I was invited, so I don't get to make the rules, and I don't know how much that probably would have helped the caddies, to be honest with you, because they had a lot of work to do in our group, and they had to scatter around. We had two with our group, which was a lovely experience. Those guys did a great job. Had to be called in on a couple rules decisions, which Ooh. Was meaningful as well. But I guess for me, it doesn't matter to go see a new course. And it's like, oh, I got a chance to play such and such place. It'll ruin it to play a two-man scramble. No, it won't. It'll make it a lot more enjoyable for everybody. And maybe next time on those media outings, they can take my advice. But I know that the next time that I play with you and Beamer and Reimer, that will be the rules showcase. And we'll take carts, and we may have a soda.
What's feeling the worst on your body right now? Because I got this Theragun in here, Austin. I can bring it in for you tomorrow. If you
He's got
it.
Some remedies for back pain if you're starting to feel anything lower.
Between me and you, we might have one functional body tomorrow.
Did you just say something about your back? You cut out, but
he's playing injured right now. Yeah, he's got a bad back with a Theragun.
I've got a Theragun with me if you need it.
Oh, okay, goodness. Well, that we've really upgraded from the heating pad. but we are getting up there in age, but it'd be great to get out there. And it was great to also swing by the Woody Hayes Athletic Center today, Beamer, and catch up with Kevin Reese, because that guy's got a lot going on. I know that. Jay-Z, there were hundreds and hundreds of socks back there in the equipment room. So
much better than the ones they gave us back in the day.
Yeah, you might want to swing by, because I'm told that Bob has been loading up on socks and underwear for several years. So I guess maybe there's a former player discount that I wasn't aware of. But
they'll charge me extra. What are you doing here, guy? Get out.
You might want to look into that.
Yeah,
Austin, did you ask him or someone on the equipment staff about the helmet stickers? Did that question make it to the interview?
Absolutely, because Kevin knew it was coming. He was listening to the Buckeye show on Tuesday night. He heard you say that. So I saw. Now, it's cool. So what we kind of did, Beamer, today was a little bit of a hybrid between just a normal, stand-up interview, and then like 10 or 15 minutes or so of like notebook style.
Ooh.
We switched out the cameras, and then Kevin Reese took us on a little bit of a tour of his, the heartbeat, I guess, of the Woody Hayes Athletic Center, where everything really happens. So, saw the drawer where those Buckeye Leaf stickers are kept, asked about that process and the pressure and stress that comes with that. Hasn't been fully restocked yet for the 2026 season, because I looked in there, I was like, well, that's not nearly enough stickers. Like, they're going to score a lot more touchdowns and force a lot more turnovers. You're going to need to get some. He said, don't worry about that. It's May. So I did ask about the stickers. We are going to schedule that interview for Tuesday of next week.
Nice.
So you can look forward to that on the beat next week, which is helpful for me, because I'm going to be, leaving for Texas on Friday night. So that gives us a little bit of leeway with the scheduling and not having to record any podcasts that might go out of time or not have the timeliness needed that we pride ourselves on, Beamer. So it was fun. It was great to be back there. I've peeked into the room before, but I haven't had a chance to really see how some of that magic happens back there. We got an up close look at those new jerseys and everything else that's gone into, the closet, as they call it now, for the Buckeyes. So I had a great time, and I really appreciate Kevin taking that time and Ohio State allowing us to maybe tell that story a little bit.
Without giving too much of the story away, was there a committee of players that helped him with the jerseys, or was it just something that he kind of went with on tradition, what we've had in the past, what we were trying to get back to?
Yeah, it's kind of a far-ranging process, Jay-Z. I think he said that the first time that there had been conversations about this iteration of the Tunnel Vision, the all black, that had started around 2023. I'd have to double check, but I had talked to him in the past about, and the example I use all the time is how long it took for the Land of Gray or Land of the Wolves gray jerseys to be made, and how it sort of passed the window where Ohio State was actually using that as a mantra. It's like, well, it's an 18-month process. It's a 24-month process. And so, players were involved. Nike execs were involved. The athletic department is involved. There's so many people that get, feedback, and all, licensing and getting Ohio State to sign off and this and that and the other things. It's far more complicated than probably anybody would want it to be. But I think that's also why it's so gratifying For the people in the equipment room and for Kevin, maybe specifically when you get to the end of the process and you see what it's going to look like. And, you know, one thing about it where it's not even really necessarily one person who will decide when they're going to wear it, because, you know, sort of what the way I understand it is that Ohio State, they want to wear the tunnel vision. They want to wear the all blacks. They're designed to be worn at night. And
as you would believe, as you would think. Yeah,
exactly. And you know, something like the color rush, you know, not necessarily has to be worn for that specifically. So maybe that would be, you know, a 3:30 game. I don't know. It's none of that stuff has been nailed down, but like there's the loose ideas for this is when that should be worn. This would be worn at this time. And so some of it will now have the flexibility where, you know, it's not going to be decided right now or in June or July. You know, if Fox or if NBC says this is going to be a primetime game, the Buckeyes are going to be under the lights in the horseshoe, then they would say, well, cool, we've got that covered. That becomes a tunnel vision game. Maybe similar with the Sub-Zeros, the all whites on the road. You know, it'll be sort of up to the situation, and they'll have the flexibility now built in where you have all five sets of these uniforms. And when those kickoff times come, then you can sort of plan accordingly from there, which is nice. I think it's a little bit probably a load off of the shoulders of Kevin Reese to know that you've got all that and you have a plan in place no matter what the kickoff times wind up being. So I think that part is pretty cool. And there's still, you know, opportunities down the road where they could add to that. But five for now and 12 games and some of the built-in flexibility depending on how that schedule shakes out.
Austin, always appreciate the time. Thanks for hopping on with us. Anything else you'd like to add for the Buckeyes before we get you out of here?
No, I mean, we've got a couple hours. We can get into it.
All right. Sounds good, buddy. Have a great evening. Rest and recover, all right?
Will do. See you guys.
There he goes. Austin Ward with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Joshua Perry, he's going to join us. We'll talk some college football with him coming up here in 2 minutes. It's the Buckeye Show on The Fan.
Ends up one of the most recognizable landmarks in all of college athletics with a tour of Ohio Stadium presented by Experience Columbus. A seasoned redcoat will be your guide as you make your way through walls of the stadium into the press box and onto the field. Upgrade to the VIP package and get special access to the band center and the Ohio State home locker room. From corporate outings and school groups to single person tours and small families, Ohio Stadium tours offer a variety of options and pricing. For more information, visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com and book your tour. Ohio Stadium Tours, presented by Experience Columbus.
Come on over to Heartland and join our family.
Now, getting ahead in this world is not as complicated as it might seem. Having the early guidance and counsel of your community banker, one who knows you and your family's story, can make a great deal of difference. Relationships matter. Bank on community banking. I'm Scott McComb. Coming over to Heartland, where banking really feels good.
Rare banking feels good.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The Buckeye Show is sponsored by CareSource. Proud to be your home for Ohio State Athletics. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The only radio show that bleeds scarlet and gray. This is the Buckeye Show.
Hanging out, my guy Justin Zwick here this evening. I want to let you know that we here on the Buckeye Show, sponsored by our good friends over at CareSource. Right now, we head out to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Check with our guy. He is Joshua Perry. JP, thanks for the time. Always appreciate it. 12 teams, 16 teams, 24 teams, Big Ten on one side, ACC, Big 12 on one side, and then Greg Sankey and the SEC on another. Just another normal spring day for the Big Ten, Joshua. Happy Wednesday to you.
Man, let's just go back to the BCS. Why don't we just do that? Let's
please.
Just go to just one national championship game. We get back to the New Year's Six bowl system. We keep the other bowls alive. This playoff expansion, I understand where people are coming from with it, right? Like, they want more TV inventory that matters late in the year. They want to be able to sell all of that. Everybody's looking for revenue, which, by the way, nobody says, oh, we gotta pull back on spending. Maybe, you know, maybe $15 million for a coach isn't a wise financial decision for a university. Maybe $50 million on a roster isn't a wise decision for a university. It's like, no, let's just go out there and create more playoff games because we can get more money doing that. I'm completely out of it. I have never been somebody who was pro expansion of the college football playoff to bridge too far, but it's the world that we're going to head towards.
If you were in charge, Would you go back to the BCS, or would you, did you like the 4 or 8? I mean, is there a number that you like better than adding another 12 teams to?
It's funny because, you know, the year we won it was the first year of the 4-team playoff. Mm-hmm. So obviously, I was a beneficiary of the postseason opening up, and then Ohio State wins it again a couple of years ago. And that was the first time we had a 12-team playoff. So I understand how this thing works. I understand why people push for it. You could take me. Listen, once we got to 4, I knew more expansion was coming. I thought 6 was a fun idea that nobody else really liked, because you could do 2 buys and then you would have your other playoff games there. Get me somewhere between 4 and 8. If you did 4, 6, or 8, I feel like I'd be cool with it. 12 feels like we've got teams in the postseason that really shouldn't be in there. And with 24 teams, like, we're going to have bad games. Yeah. Like, we'll watch a game where, like, Iowa is always somehow ranked between 20 and 25. Yeah. That's a playoff team. And this is no shade to them. I respect that program. Do we also believe that they should be in a college football playoff competing for a championship? And the answer is no. So I don't want to see any of it. So take me back, but we're never going back.
No, we're not, JP. I think, you know, 8 was the natural expansion from 4, but we skipped that. And then we immediately went to 12. How 16 is not even being discussed, I think, is pretty, like, wild to me. I mean, I guess I understand from a Big 12 and an ACC perspective why they wouldn't want to go to 16, because it will favor mostly SEC and mostly Big 10 teams if they did get to 16 under the same rules, right? Like, automatic qualifiers, one non-group of 4 team, highest ranked, like, I understand that. So it wouldn't benefit, you know, the Big 12 and the ACC. But the problem is with them, like, they've already signed off on the dotted line that the Big 10 and the SEC now have control of this thing. Yes. So it doesn't really make any sense to me why they're trying to politic one way or the other when they don't have any rules or rights to the way this is going to be made in the future.
Well, I do think the politicking for them is important. Like, they don't necessarily have any power, but certainly they should want their voices heard. And it's an interesting thing that we've seen time and time again with the Big Ten, you know, and like Ohio State, a great example is one of the Big Ten powers, where it's like Ohio State will do what's best for the Big Ten in spite of what's best for their own personal interests at times. And the Big Ten will try to look out for collegiate athletics holistically. And this is a conference that is very competitive in a lot of sports outside of football, rather than just looking at what is best for the Big Ten on its own. The SEC has never given a damn. They didn't play by the rules in the old system. Like, they've always looked out for themselves. And so they're saying, if we went to 16, the teams that you were looking at last year, for example, Vanderbilt would be in the conversation. Texas would be in the conversation, right? Like, they're capturing all of their teams when you go to 16, and really not a lot from the other conferences. So I get where the Big 12 and the ACC are from the standpoint of, let me be clear about where I stand on expansion. My response to them, though, is why don't you go out and do what Texas Tech did, right? Like, that's one team from that conference that invested heavily. And I get it. Like, some people just don't have it. But, like, find a way to get it and become more competitive. You could do, again, Indiana, which is a story I don't think anybody's going to be able to replicate. But, like, this whole idea of, oh, well, we need to find ways to get more money and then we could be more competitive. It's like, okay, well, why don't you, like, scout players a little bit better, right? Like, get some under-the-radar guys and then coach them. You can coach, like, the whole point. You guys want all this money to pay coaches, and then you don't coach guys. You just try to go and poach players that are already ready made. Like, do your job. And so this whole thing to me is just so far out of bounds, and I feel like it just needs to reset.
How do you reset? Well, what do you do if you had the magic wand? I mean, you take it back to just 4, or you go to the BCS, or just forget about the playoffs in general?
This is going to sound terrible, because it's like, anytime you talk about resetting this thing, part of the conversation is like, we got to go back to the world where athletes really don't have any agency over their journeys, right? Like, part of this thing is not just, we got to pay coaches and, you know, like, travel and facilities and different things that are a part of budgets. Like, the other part of this where people are like, we want more money, more revenue, is so we can figure out how to recruit better, right? We need to get better players, and the market keeps going up year after year after year. I think, and I have no idea how they would be able to do this, but the one thing to me is the transfer rules, I think, will help with this, the explosion of how much rosters cost nowadays. because what we're seeing is that the market is resetting on a year-to-year basis, which is fine, but everybody can pretty much become a free agent on a year-to-year basis. So every year you're either paying more to get a guy out of the portal or paying more to get a guy to stay so he doesn't go into the portal. And if you could find a way to get the eligibility to where guys have to be in a spot for, say, 2 years, or you get it to a place where, like, you know, buyouts are a real thing, or just there's a million ways to get it to where players aren't moving nearly as much, I think that tamps down how fast the roster costs are going up. And then you've got a more sustainable and a little bit more of a level playing field for competition.
He is Joshua Perry with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. And JP, that's what, you know, Ryan Day was talking about on the Josh Pate College Football Show last week, is like this inherent idea that, you know, you're a much different human being than when you first walk in the door at the Woody or whatever, name your different college facility that you go into, and you finally, you know, come up for a breath of air after your freshman season. It's like, boy, that didn't go the way I anticipated. Boom. Like, I'm all, you know, I'm out the door, right? Like that 2 year right. commitment, it doesn't solve every issue in college football, but I think it does. It's a great idea by Ryan Day. And I don't know how you would even entertain that. I don't know if that's an NCAA rule. I don't know how they would go about getting that passed, but whoever we need to like call to make that a thing that needs to be on the docket, I think it's one of the best like non-expansion college football playoffs, mm-hmm. not moving the date ideas that we've had like around college, really athletics in a while.
It's the thing when I talk to coaches that I hear the most is if they could fix one thing today, it would be the transfer rule. So it's a priority. I know for coaches, you mentioned Ryan Day having the conversation mm-hmm. about it. I know other guys who are having that exact conversation. Once again, everything we're in such a litigious era of collegiate athletics where everything goes to court and guys are judge shopping, yeah. which I think is insane. And credit to the guy down there in Lubbock who accused himself from the Sorsby deal because he's got some integrity and also didn't want to be the guy to be like, you're never getting your eligibility back, neither here nor there. Yeah. But like that whole idea has really made it hard to actually create and enforce rules. So if there's a way that they can do it to where they know they're not going to get their pants sued off, I think it would make sense. But I just think about this idea, like, imagine Patrick Mahomes gets to be a free agent every year, and we see what the quarterback market's like in the NFL. Like, those dudes would be taking up, like, 70% of the cap, right? Like, it's an insane thing to have guys become free agents every single year. And so the transfer rule of that leverage of I might be out of here if you don't pay me, or I'm going to get in the portal so I can see what my market is. Mm-hmm. If you take that away, I think it slows down a lot of the problems in terms of we need more revenue because now you don't have to spend as much on the roster on a year-to-year basis.
JP, in our next segment, we're going to do teams that we're in and teams that we're out for in the Big Ten next year. Can you give us someone that's kind of flying under the radar this offseason that you're a believer in for this upcoming 26 season?
Oh, man, under the radar. I don't know about under the radar, but I'll give you one that I think I'm following really closely is USC. Mm. Lincoln Riley, I feel like, is under a ton of pressure. He has tried so hard to get that defense right. They have tinkered. They've got new personnel on the defensive side of the ball, both coaching staff and player-wise. Jaden Mayava's back, and I think he becomes interesting because if USC plays well, he's in the Heisman mix. Like, I think it's a make-or-break year for them. I think there's also a lot of intriguing storylines within USC. Like, is this a year where they can get back to being talked about as one of the powers in college football? And we know what the Big Ten's been like the last handful of years. It's really competitive. But if they can break through, I think it's going to be a fun thing to watch.
JP, before we get you out of here, did James get his noodles for dinner, or was he well, I hear him right now, actually. yeah. Or was it yeah. was he not agreeing?
No. So today was a big applesauce day. Mm. For some reason, he wanted a ton of applesauce. And then I went over to my parents' house earlier. And so I went to Starbucks beforehand. And James says, Daddy, I want donuts. And I'm like, you want a donut? He saw the McDonald's across the street. He wanted pancakes. So he had pancakes for breakfast and then applesauce, like 15 packets of applesauce today.
Hey, you know what? That's a well-balanced day, I feel like. You
apple
know?
A day keeps the doctor.
Yeah, 15 in one day? Who knows yeah, what that does?
I know.
He's healthy.
Yeah,
he's
charged
fine.
Up.
It feels excessive. It feels excessive.
JP, always appreciate the time. Have a great rest of your evening, buddy, and we'll check in again soon, all right?
All right, take care, y'all.
There he goes, Joshua Perry with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Just ask this to Joshua. I want you to be thinking about it. Which Big Ten teams are we in and are we out for on the 2026 season? We'll do that coming up next. It's the Buckeye Show on the Fan.
We're known for three things: games, conversation, and common man yelling about things only he cares about. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Delaware County. One medical team in Central Ohio skilled enough to care for your favorite Ohio State team and Buckeyes everywhere. The Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center is your choice for the most highly specialized orthopedic and sports medicine care. Our surgeons, physicians, and physical therapists have access to the most advanced treatments and innovative recovery approaches to get you back in your game. Because on or off the field, our team is your team. The choice for your orthopedic care is clear.
Experience Buckeye Game Day like never before. Welcome to the 1922 Club, the most exclusive space inside Ohio Stadium, where luxury meets tradition in the heart of Buckeye Nation. Enjoy upscale food and beverages and a game day atmosphere like no other. Create lasting memories with friends and mingling with other Buckeye fans, and celebrate every OHIO in ultimate comfort. Become a member of the 1922 Club today. Memberships are limited. Visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com.
Reds are on the Fan's family of stations all season long. If you don't listen, Terry Francona will ride his scooter to your house and yell at you. Your home of the Reds. The Fan. The Fan 2 and the Fan 3.
Attention Columbus. Town Properties just clinched the title of the largest residential property manager in Columbus, thanks to the Columbus Business Journal. With pride, we oversee 25,000 plus households in the Columbus metro area, ensuring fantastic places to call home. Whether you're on the hunt for an exceptional living space, a top-notch association management company, or a property manager for your multifamily portfolio, visit our website at town-properties.com and let us elevate your living experience. Town Properties, always managing great places to live.
Everybody knows that Roosters is a fun, casual joint with their award-winning waitstaff, great food, fun, and laughter. It's a quick stop on the way home to sit back and unwind. It's a front row seat to the big game. Roosters is where you, your family, and friends can order pizzas, sandwiches, salads, and more. And the home of award-winning wings that are fresh, never frozen, and so big you won't believe it. It's your family's other dinner table. Roosters, a fun, casual joint, and the official wing sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
We're very close to Buckeye football. Very close. Uncomfortably close. You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
And now my guy Justin Zwick here this evening. I want to thank everybody for listening, watching. You can always watch the show on YouTube. Type in 97.1 The Fan on that bad boy. Like and subscribe. All kinds of good stuff coming to your inbox, including the Austin and Berm show. They talked to Kevin Reese today, man in charge of the Ohio State equipment machine, the lifeblood of a college football program, Justin, the heartbeat of an organization. And I'm very anxious to watch that, listen to that, yeah. Get to learn some more. I'm sure we'll talk to Austin about it a little bit more tomorrow when he's in here with me, but that will be dropping Tuesday, so make sure and subscribe.
I got a big job. I always made old Sweet Lou was our equipment manager. I was always good buddies because that's how you'd get the extra stuff that you wanted. But yeah, Austin talked about the socks that we had back in the day, and we were telling him on Monday like we had to go buy our own socks because these socks gave us were so bad. They're like
what was wrong with them?
They were the mid shin thick cotton white Nike sock with the red, swoosh on them.
Not the tri blend.
They were not out at that point in time. I don't think Nike had dry fit. That's how old I am. But Under Armour did, so we'd all go buy the Under Armour socks and wear them with all of our
cover
Nike
them
stuff.
Up.
Yeah, yeah, basically. But so they were bad. So we were joking around about that on Monday. But
I wonder what
they don't have that problem anymore.
Yeah, I was gonna say I wonder what it's like for players and access, and I mean obviously it changes in eras, like the amount of stuff that you get from the equipment room at Ohio State. And I know that some NFL organizations don't hand out that much stuff. The Cincinnati Bengals notorious for doing that, making you pay for the stuff that you actually get, even though you're on the team. Like, they'll ding that out of your own paycheck. But I know that Jeremiah Smith can pick out 100 different things if he wants to, but you know, you're on the team, you're grinding. Like, how much stuff are you getting? How much access do you have?
Dude, back in our day, none. That's why when Sweet Lou came in, I became friends with him, because like the EQ guy we had before that, awesome guy, but he handled the gear as if he went to the store and bought it with his own money.
His own stuff.
I mean, you would have receivers who are wearing gloves for 3-4 weeks during camp just smell like terribly.
You wear a golf glove for 3 or 4 rounds.
Well, yeah, exactly. But they'd be wearing these receiver gloves. I mean, they would have to, like, they'd be in the locker room ripping them just to try and get a new pair, because like, they weren't handing them out. Like, it had to be a legit reason. So things have changed quite a bit for those guys over there. I don't think they're having to go through the stuff we had to get some new gear.
Yeah, I'd probably imagine that.
And it's a lot better.
They have multiple boxes of gloves, probably.
Yeah,
they dry weather, wet weather, windy weather. They probably got all different kinds of things.
They do. So. And we used to be always jealous of the basketball team because they got all the cool stuff. But there's only so many of them. Like, we had 115.
Yeah.
Like, not, we're not going to get all
that sweatshirt.
Yeah, well, for sure. We'd get red sweats and a pair of tennis shoes to start the season.
Make sure you guys.
And that's what we got.
Make sure you guys wash those as well, because we're not washing them for you. So that's coming out on Tuesday on the Austin and Berm show. Looking forward to that. Last week, about a week ago, I did how would I tier the Big Ten this season? Here's how that went last week. I had title contenders of Ohio State, Oregon, and Indiana. I had next in line being Penn State, Michigan, Illinois. They are who we thought they were, Iowa, in a category of themselves. And Joshua Perry just kind of said the same exact thing. Like, it was a top 25 team every year. If you go to a 24-team college football playoff, Iowa will probably be in it more years than they are not. Got to see it to believe it. This was a big one. USC, Washington, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Minnesota, rebuild, new coach, UCLA, Michigan State, and then the remaining four teams in the Big Ten was its own category. That would be Northwestern, Purdue, Rutgers, and Maryland. Let's start from the top here, Jay-Z. I mean, Ohio State in, out for the 2026 season. I would safely assume that we're all in.
Yeah, I think everybody's in on that. Nice transfer class. A lot of good guys coming back. You know, Ryan Day at the helm. I think we're good.
Oregon and Indiana, both in. I mean, I don't know if Indiana will be able to do what they did last year. Obviously, very different situation for them. Fernando Mendoza leaving for the draft. The Hoosiers are high on their quarterback coming in here this year. I think Indiana will be good. I just don't know if they will retain some of that magic, but still a very, very good college football team.
Yeah, I mean, if Cignetti can go 3-for-3 on quarterbacks and, you know, all the transfers they bring in every year, I think that he needs to go buy a lottery ticket. Not that he doesn't need to, because he can write whatever check. They'll write him whatever check he wants to coach at Indiana right now.
I think they're automatically qualified to do so with the way that his contract.
Yes, with the way his contract, I'm sure, is written out. But I mean, it'd be really hard to hit 3 years in a row. So we'll see what happens with them. But I still think they're going to be, you know, that one of those top 3-4 teams in the Big Ten, no matter what.
Where are you at? Where are you guys at with these next crop of teams? And again, this is my own ranking, so I mean, we're just going to go through all of them. Are we in or out Penn State, Michigan, Illinois? Penn State, Michigan, obviously new coaches. So what the standard is for them this year, I'm not exactly sure. Illinois, Brett Bielema, Burt, like, they have a different team coming back than what they did last year. I still think they've got a little bit of pop around them. Anxious to see Penn State, Michigan under new regimes, what that looks like in year number one. So I gotta have to hold out on the Penn State and Michigan front. I do like Matt Campbell a lot. I think he's a pretty good college football coach. It may take him a little bit of time to get used to life in the Big Ten, though.
It may take some time, and they did bring a lot of guys from Iowa State with them, which means
fine program.
You were a college athlete playing football at a big, you know, big time school. Mm-hmm. And you've been there for a few years, more than likely. So he's bringing older guys. What did Cignetti do when he came from James Madison? Brought a bunch of those guys. They're older. They have, you know, more experience, a little more mature. So, yes, it's Iowa State. And I think we looked up their schedule or their record, and they weren't very good last year. So you're bringing those players with you, but they're going to be more mature. They've been through it. I think Penn State and Matt Campbell, I think he's a good coach. I think they're going to be a team that may be able to surprise some people, just because they're going to be a little bit older and he's going to have some of his guys. I like Kyle Whittingham up in Michigan. I thought he was a good coach out of Utah.
He was a great coach
all those years. You know, I hate that he went to Michigan.
They backdoored their way into a really
somehow,
good hire. Yeah,
somehow, like, everything that happened with them, we're like, who are they going to get? Like, no chance they get. And then he kind of falls in their lap. So
Kyle Whittingham.
I think he could be really good up there. I think the bigger issue there is their quarterback.
I was going to say, is Bryce Underwood still their quarterback next year? That's my question.
Yeah, like, I think yes.
If he's as good as he was last year, then I think their schedule's even harder than it was last year. Mm-hmm. Five losses, not out of the question for as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, they do have to come here this year.
But right? he only dipped his toe in the water last year starting 12 games.
That is correct. You are right about that.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different beast than your second year. Also, now teams have film on you.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's only going to get harder.
You have new coaches, so you're running a different offense. They are who we thought they were in that category last week. Iowa. I'm not in or out on Iowa.
Iowa.
They will be Iowa, and they will be very good, and they will be between 9-3 and 8-4. Like that's
if they could ever just like score 28 points a game.
Last week they
would
brought
be really good.
Like an offensive analyst who is 88 years old. And I saw someone tweet like, "Of course, Iowa's bringing an 88 year old to revamp their offense. So it's on brand. It's very on brand."
Was like, "I coached with this guy back when I started. He was really good."
Joshua Perry seemed to be very in on USC and Lincoln Riley. Lincoln Riley also all in on himself earlier in the week, saying like, "I feel like I'm a much better coach than I was at Oklahoma. It's go time now."
Thank you.
That's why last week I had to put him in the I've got to see it to believe it. Yeah. Like, you've got to win these games. And we were actually going through their schedule a little bit last night on the Buckeye Show, and they have a really tough midseason stretch. Like, very, very difficult middle of their schedule in the Big Ten.
Yeah. And they can put points if you merged them and Iowa, it'd be a really good team.
Yeah,
it'd
be awesome.
Because they can put some points on the board. Iowa plays really good defense.
I've seen people like, "Oh my God, they finally have a quarterback in Jaden Maivia." Like, oh, like they didn't have a Heisman Trophy winner.
Like, the guy hasn't had quarterbacks every year he's coached almost.
Kaleeb Williams? Yeah. You mean that guy that Mike McCarthy can't pronounce, even though he watches all 232 games of the NFL every year? You mean they had a Heisman winning trophy quarterback and they couldn't do anything? Surely they'll be much better this year. Washington, I'm kind of in on. The Jed Fish experience. Kind of in on that. They obviously had the Damon Williams situation.
Oh, that whole thing. How's that working out? How's that working out up there? How did the team accept him back with open arms? Like, you tried to leave us.
Yeah, but I'm here now. I'm here now. It's all good. The $5 million check cleared. It's fine. Kind of out on Nebraska. Not going to lie. I think the Dylan Raiola situation was bigger and badder than what they're alluding to.
Yeah, I don't think they were sad to see him go.
Yeah, but I don't know if the...
But what do you have in your conference to kind of replace him with, right?
And I don't know if it's going to be better for them. Wisconsin, easy, doable schedule. I think
you better win or...
You're gone.
See ya.
Yeah, you're fine.
What, you're four of Luke up there, I think so. I mean, they 4-8 last year.
Yeah,
I just saw. That's as bad as it's been since 1990, from what the internet tells me. So that's not a good thing. But they do have last year's schedule was crazy tough. And I would love to see how many guys they got injured throughout the year.
Oh, it was.
I mean, they had
quarterbacks galore.
Offensive line. I mean, like, they just had a run of really, really bad luck. So
Christian Allegro
is now here. Well, yeah, now he's here. So you lose some of those guys. But they did put some money into the portal. And the AD came out and said, "We want to be, you know, at the top of the Big Ten." Mm-hmm. We want to try and get this thing right. So the schedule, if they can get a quarterback that's competent up there, I think they're an 8-win team this year.
I'm in on Minnesota. I'm in on PJ Fleck. I waver on him every year.
PJ Fleck is always good for 8 or 9 wins.
Exactly.
Every year we'll get it.
That's right. They're kind of Iowa.
They're kind of like Iowa. Yeah.
I know they don't want to be compared to each other, but they are kind of like Iowa light. Rebuild, I'm not judging them this year. UCLA and Michigan State. I do like the Pat Fitzgerald hire at Michigan State. I think that was a good one. And I got to be honest with you, I'm out on Northwestern, Purdue, Rutgers, and Maryland. I'm out. I'd be out on those teams.
Yes, 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 and yes. I agree.
I'm with it.
Northwestern's
schedule is brutal this year.
It's tough. They do open the sweet new Ryan Field, though.
They do.
So they got that going for them.
Which is nice.
Yeah, which is nice.
At some point this year. I don't know when that's going to be. So who knows? Should be a fun year in the Big Ten. Everyone loves an anonymous quote about a football team, right?
Mm-hmm.
We'll do that in the Pulse coming up next. It's the Buckeye Show on The Fan.
Bo Bishop is a media legend. We have no idea where the other guys came from. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan. Get eager.
For some, it's one of life's fiercest foes. But not at the James. While cancer hides, we hunt. As a team like no other. Giving patients access to the most advanced treatment options and sparking new hope. So if you just heard the words, "You have cancer," you should know this. We heard them too. And there's no better team in the nation to create a cancer-free world. The James at Ohio State.
Hosting a passionate crew of Buckeye fans? Revamp your rec room for an epic watch party with power reclining sofas, massaging recliners, entertainment centers, and coffee tables from Bob's. They even have sofas with drop-down tables for snacks and bevs. Shop in-store or online to score big on an incredible game day setup at Bob's Everyday Low Prices. Bob's Discount Furniture, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Life is more fun with a pal. So is pizza. So check out Donato's $5 Pizza Pals menu. Order any large pizza and add your choice of a sub, salad, wings, dessert, and more for just $5 each. Order your favorite $5 Pizza Pals from Donato's.com today. More toppings, more flavor, more fun. Donato's. Gotta love more.
From the first whistle to the final play, being a Buckeye fan calls for commitment and support. Nature Made Vitamins are your winning play. From the number one pharmacist recommended vitamin and supplement brand, Nature Made is made to care for fans on game day and every day. So you can go all in on big wins, tough losses, and still show up for your team every time. Nature Made, proud vitamin and supplement sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Based on a survey of pharmacists who recommend branded vitamins and supplements.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good evening, I'm Nate Putterball, their sports update. This afternoon, the Columbus Blue Jackets confirmed the passing of Bill Davidge at age 72. Bill spent two decades with the club as the longtime color analyst for both television and radio, as well as scout for the organization. He was also the first ever varsity coach of Miami, Ohio's hockey program. College baseball this afternoon saw Ohio State keep their season alive, beating Rutgers 3-2 in the Big Ten tournament. Pierce Herrenbrook pitched the first complete game in the tournament in 2 years. They face either Washington or Michigan tomorrow night at 7. Afternoon baseball saw the Reds beat the Phillies 9-4, handing Phillies interim manager Don Mattingly his first series loss. NBA playoffs tonight see that San Antonio looking to go up 2-0 on OKC. And in the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Golden Knights are at the Colorado Avalanche to begin the West Finals. This update brought to us by BMI Federal Credit Union. Go to Best Credit Union for the past 8 years in a row by CBUS Top Picks. Visit BMIFCU.org to learn more. Breaking sports news, weapons in the fan.
It's time for the College Football Pulse on the Buckeye Show.
Sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss.
Hanging out, hour number two of the program for us tonight. Justin Zwickin with me, Nate Dogg behind the glass. How about the Buckeye baseball team earlier today?
Was that earlier today or earlier today?
Yes, well, you were way earlier today, a.k.a.
You're
last night,
yeah.
Because unfortunately they did lose that game to Washington last night out in Omaha. So it was a quick turnaround for them today, Nate. They played at 2 o'clock Eastern time, which was 1 o'clock for them in Central time today. They did get it done, which was nice. It got dicey at the end. They beat Rutgers 3-2. So tomorrow, they will play at 7 o'clock, and they play the loser of the Washington-Michigan game that is going on here this evening. So we'll see what happens on that, but they do have another date in the Big Ten tournament tomorrow at 7 o'clock. 3-2. Got dicey at the end. Had runners on second and third with two outs, but they managed to get it done.
First complete game in the Big Ten tournament in 2 years.
That is,
is that right?
That is correct.
So was it last night where we had the catcher drop the ball?
Yes.
So that was late. Yeah, okay, I saw that highlight.
Early this morning.
Well, I guess, early this morning. I guess I didn't realize.
What time did the game end last night?
Around 1:30.
Okay. Yeah, so that was a late one. That's a bit of a late one. How was the wake up for you this morning?
Oh, man? I was wonderful at my day job today.
I'm sure that you were a peach, for sure. So we had that going on, which was good. Live to fight another day. Justin Hare and the boys again. Tomorrow they will play the loser of Washington and Michigan, which goes off at 10 o'clock tonight. So you don't have to be here for that, Nate.
I was joking yesterday. I was like, I'm not sure I want Ohio State to win tonight because then I would have another 10 o'clock start.
Hey, man, we've all been there before.
Yes.
We've all been there with the jobs. I know I certainly have before producing these games, especially on like Easter weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, let me get out of here.
I used to have to do Blue Jackets West Coast games all the time when they were in the Western Conference.
Oh, yeah.
Sucks so bad.
Yeah, going to be here till 3 o'clock in the morning. Sounds awesome. Yes, just like Ohio State sign football post game.
Exactly.
You and me hanging out.
I used
Saturday.
To love night games. Now I just it's like nails on a chalkboard.
I like the night games. I'm for more night games, but selfishly, the noon games rule. Nate, what do you have for us tonight, buddy?
Athlon Sports is putting out their annual college football preview, and they asked some coaches to speak anonymously about some teams. One of them, of course, being Notre Dame, and it seems teams are pretty much on board with Notre Dame this year. Anonymous quotes including, they're so good up front that they just get after your insert word here. I would imagine that they took the cups off of CJ Carr a little bit more this year. I thought he was very good, but I also thought they asked little of him. That was an interesting quote.
It absolutely is, right? Notre Dame, inherently, what they're very good at and what they continue to be good at during this Marcus Freeman era. And not that they weren't good at it under Brian Kelly, but they've really seemed to accentuate it now, Justin, and you know this as well. You have a dominant run game and a dominant bully-built offensive line that can control the line of scrimmage. That is a quarterback's best friend.
Oh.
And like Jeremiah Love certainly helped that last year with Notre Dame, and he was a hell of a running back, and he's going to have a hell of a career in the NFL. But you look at the way that Notre Dame is built this year. I'm not titling it championship or bust for Notre Dame at all, considering the way that last year went for them. And they missed out on the college football playoff on the back of going to a college football playoff national championship. But if they're able to continue to run the ball that they have, they're able to continue that pattern of bullying people up front and actually giving CJ Carr more of their offense now, and giving him a little bit more free reign to open up that arm. Notre Dame is definitely a team. I know we just did in and out on Big Ten teams, and rarely do I buy into Notre Dame because my stepdad is a diehard Notre Dame fan, and we talk about all the moves that they make in the offseason, but they have some skill players on the outside now. Like, right, they've hit the transfer portal kind of in the right way. They're going to be an interesting team to watch. I'm kind of in on Notre Dame and Marcus Freeman again this year.
I'm kind of in. I feel as if the two tough games they played last year, they lost.
Yep.
And so, yes, we saw them run through the rest of their schedule. I think Navy was a top 25 team at the time just for that week when they played Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm. That was the only
one. And it was the only one that they came close, and I don't think they should have been ranked in the top 25. I think they did that just for Notre Dame's sake.
USC in a got way. Ranked after, like, at the very end of the season, but they weren't ranked when they played.
Exactly. So,
now they don't play him at all this year.
Listen, their program is really good. Marcus is doing a great job up there. Are they going to have that same feel with not having Jeremiah Love in the backfield? I mean, that's a big loss. Is that offensive line just going to be so good that no matter who's back there, they can run the ball, and then that opens up the quarterback going downfield? And
I don't know, like that.
You know, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, like, we'll see. And I just, with the schedule they played last year, I wasn't all that impressed with them. I mean, they lost the two games they needed to win, and they took care of business when they should have. So I'm kind of in. We'll see what happens. I think that Wisconsin game could be a good little test to see where they are, because I think that defense of Wisconsin is going to be tough, and they should have all their guys healthy going into week one. So we'll find out then. I'll feel a little bit better after I see that
game. They're built to beat up on weak teams that don't have a lot of depth, and that is their entire schedule this year.
Which is they play. That's what their schedule is. They start off with Wisconsin, as Justin mentioned. Second week of the year, they get Rice at home. They get Michigan State in the first few games of the Pat Fitzgerald era at home. Glad that they're bringing that game back, though. I do like that.
With USC?
Out of Notre Dame. No, the Michigan State. Notre Dame, Michigan would always play. I love those games. I think those games are good for college football. They get the trip to West Lafayette to Purdue. That's a win for them. Bill Belichick, they got to go down to Chapel Bill. That's not really a problem for them.
That's a win.
Yeah. Stanford is a win for them. BYU, I know, can be pesky at times, and they're good. But you're Notre Dame. You are going out to Provo, which is going to be tough, and that place gets rocking. But if Notre Dame is who we think that they are, they should have that. The one game that is circled on their calendar is that Miami game on November 7th. Like, that's the one. But with the day and age now in college football, you can lose that game.
And all they have to do is get in the top 12, and they're automatically in.
That's correct. Like, it's written in the rules, the college football playoff bylaws.
For Notre Dame.
Yes, you're in the playoff if you're in the top 12. So we'll see what happens. I definitely think if they don't make the playoffs this year, it would be a disaster, because that schedule is not nearly as what it was last year. And that schedule was not great last year. Mm-mm. So they should make the playoffs.
Well, in each of the last 3 or 4 years, they've had like a bad loss early, mm-hmm. early in the year as well.
So, 3 years ago, Marshall was on there, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So just
now they get it turned around. Don't get me wrong, but they started off slow.
Yes, they have. Yeah. Brian Kelly started off slow at LSU too.
Yeah. And then his voice just got slow when he went to LSU.
Yeah. Somehow, some way that happened. Nate, what else you got for us tonight?
I am not a mathematician, so I have not verified the numbers myself. However, Big Ten COO Kerry Kenny says that they have, in fact, run the numbers. And if there had been a 24-team college football playoff going all the way back to 2014, 80 different teams would have made the playoffs.
It's too
Which,
much.
To me, says everyone in the Big Ten except Maryland, everyone in the SEC,
yeah.
and maybe one MAC school.
I'm trying to rack my brain of teams since 2014 in the Big Ten that wouldn't get in. Because how many Division One football teams are there now? 139, right? And like that just jumped up a few years ago to 139. And I think for the longest time, there was like 131. So we're talking about in a 10-year time span. Again, this was according to Kerry Kenny, the Big Ten COO, that since 2014, 80 teams would have gotten into the college football playoff. In a 10-year span. That's not a long time in history. Like 10 is a decade, and you're talking about more than 65-70% of college football getting into the playoff with the elevated, expanded 24-team field. Now, that didn't happen. We didn't have the 24-team playoff. But I think if you go there...
watered down.
If you expand
product.
Those numbers and say, well, 10 more years from now, what is that going to look like? It's not going to be much different than 80.
No. I just can't stand the whole 24.
It just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. I am not a fan of it. More watered down games at the end of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's the playoffs. But if everybody's making the playoffs, are the playoffs special? You know, do you really even need
Certain
to pay attention
games.
Until after that first bye week?
No.
No, right? Because it's not really going to matter.
No.
So they may shoot themselves in the foot. But we'll see. I mean, they expanded the bowl games mm-hmm. to whatever they wanted to.
Imagine being one of those 30 or 40 teams that wouldn't have made the playoffs.
Yeah. Purdue.
Purdue, Kansas.
Yeah, I mean, we can name a few off the top of our heads. I don't know if Rutgers
or Maryland are kind of right there.
Yeah, I don't know if they were ever, you know, kind of flirting with getting in.
We can't even say Vandy met now.
No,
Vandy
would have made it like the last 2 years. Yeah. They'd have been fine. It would have been all good. Yeah, I don't know. It's
a mess.
It's too much. Too many teams making the playoffs. 80 teams in a 10-year span making the playoffs. One Big Ten athletic director is seeking steadiness within his program. We'll get into that coming up next. It's the Buckeye Show on The Fan.
We know everything about you. We know you love the Buckeyes. We know you love the Jackets. We know you're wearing a red shirt. I just freaked the hell out of someone. The Fan.
Looking to sell?
I'm Archie Griffin, 2-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the field. That's why Encova Insurance is prepared for what's next and protects what matters most to you. With independent insurance agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova Insurance is an easy win for your peace of mind. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you.
Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Introducing Optimized IT, the managed services division of Modern Office Methods. With our cutting-edge managed IT services, we bring proven management strategies to the table to support your current IT team. That's not all. Our experienced team provides insight on how to maximize efficiency, helping you achieve your goals faster. Concerned about security? Our backup solutions help guarantee your data is protected around the clock, giving you peace of mind. Start at optimizedit.net for your free IT assessment. Stay ahead, stay secure, and stay optimized.
Paul Keels here, voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes. You have to check out the brand new AAA Buckeyes MVP membership. Get all the benefits of AAA, such as 24/7 roadside assistance, plus chances to win tickets to Buckeyes sporting events, access to exclusive MVP experiences, along with 10% off gear at the Ohio State Team Shop. Already a AAA member? Add the Buckeye MVP membership upgrade for free. Head to AAA.com/Buckeyes to join the squad and put your fandom in drive.
They're trained. They're prepared.
Let's do it.
They're Ohio's undefeated plumbing, drain, heating, and cooling team. And they're here to tackle your problems. For plumbing, drain, heating, and cooling, there's only one team. The Waterworks. Better care, better value, better results. Call the Waterworks at 614-232-2222 or visit them online at thewaterworks.com. A proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
All your favorite fan shows are on YouTube.
Along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth.
Experience the splendor of Bo sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's gaudy gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there.
Head to YouTube and subscribe today.
This is Paul Keels for RV Wholesalers. Peace of mind, that's what you get when purchasing your next RV from RV Wholesalers. With every new RV purchase, Ohio residents receive the exclusive Buckeye Service Guarantee. If your RV is in the shop, RV Wholesalers will give you a free loaner. Also with a Buckeye Service Guarantee. You'll receive free delivery in the state of Ohio and three-day RV exchange. That's the exclusive Buckeye Service Guarantee. Only at RV Wholesalers in Lakeview, Mansfield, Delaware, and RVW.com. RV Wholesalers, a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
It's game day at Raising Cane's. If you want to order like a Buckeye, it's the action off the field you need to focus on. The only play you're running is chicken. So what combo are you picking? Make it a perfect season. We've got tailgates of hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers and cane sauce. And jugs of freshly made tea and lemonade. All available to order online or on our app. This season is about to be unbeatable. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. One love. Proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Well, gradually turning drier overnight into Thursday morning across central Ohio. On Thursday, turning sunny, a dry day, but still cool with low 70s across central Ohio. On Friday, dry in the morning, and then a high chance of rain afternoon and Friday night into Saturday morning. That is your 97.1 The Fan weather forecast. I'm 10 Weather Impact Chief Meteorologist Chris Tomer.
We here at The Fan believe there's no such thing as too much Ohio State coverage. You're locked in to The Buckeye Show.
Hey, when you're craving scratch-made food, 29-degree draft beer, and the best seat in the house for every game, there's only one place to go, and that's Twin Peaks. From juicy burgers, smoked in-house wings, ice-cold brews, served by the friendliest team around, Twin Peaks is your ultimate sports lodge. Wall-to-wall TVs mean that you never miss a moment. We got hockey, we got basketball playoffs going on right now. Grab your crew, head to Twin Peaks, where the views are great, the food hits hard, and the beer is always colder than your ex's heart. Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic views. Nate, when you were talking about how you were not a math expert in the last segment, it made me go back to something that I was talking to with Justin today. And I just want to get in front of this. I've said this on these airwaves many and many times. My wife is the math person in the family. All right. Got a mathematics degree from The Ohio State University. So she handles all the numbers in the house. But I felt pretty confident about this earlier, that this was not the way that math works. Giants running back Cam Scatabo was the the person of interest of this math equation. I want everybody just to put their thinking hats on for just a second. The health of Malik Nabers, Cam Scatabo, they were out last year. Jackson Dart was running all around getting smoked during last season. Now they do have a different head coach. They do have John Harbaugh, which I saw just gave the commencement speech down at Miami Oxford here last weekend, which had to be pretty cool. Cam Scatabo talked about his health. He said, I'm ready to go. Week number one, I'll be good. Now, Cam Scatabo does run like a crazy person. Like, he puts his head down and he hits walls.
I think he'd play without a helmet if they live.
I agree with I think he doesn't want a helmet. Like, he's probably good on that. But I just, I'm trying to do the math, and I just want to make sure that I'm correct in my math assessment that this math is not right.
It's not mathing.
From Cam Scatabo. He said, I don't consider that successful for me, talking about having 1,000 yards in an NFL season. Here's where the math problem begins. He said, I had 400 yards on 100 carries. All right? 400 yards, 100 carries seems pretty good.
4 yards a carry.
That's 4 yards a carry.
I just did quick math. How about that?
Look at you go.
Look at me.
That Maslin education. That's really good.
Mr. Barons would be so happy right now.
Yeah, I can do that math, you know, divide by 10, divide by 100. Boom, there you go. 4 yards a carry. When I play 17-plus games this year, it's going to be 300 carries for 2,000 yards.
If you carry the one.
It stopped me in my tracks a little bit earlier today, So, like, again, I want to put this preface out there. Like I'm,
I don't think that's right, but
I'm not a math.
Maybe it's right.
I'm not a math guy, but all right. 1-4. It was 4 yards per carry. Now we're at 300 carries. So we multiply 4 times 3. That gets us to 12. We're still 800 short of 2,000 yards.
That was 6.666666666.
Repeating, of course.
Yards. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know if that's going to work, Cam. That would make you, that would make the greatest season for a running back in NFL history on yards per carry with that many carries. Not to say that he can't do it. I'm just saying that his math on that equation.
It's the old, if you have $100 million, you can give 100 million people $1 million. Yeah. That's
Elon old Cam's. Musk is worth $100 billion. He can give 100 million people $1 billion. That doesn't work that way.
Old, yeah. That's where old Cam was getting his math from.
He was sending just that around on Facebook.
Yeah.
All right. That sounds good. Share gonna this post. Yep. Elon Musk is going to give you $100 million because he can. Yeah, I saw that today. I'm like, I don't think that math adds up, Mr. Scatabo.
You just look out and love the meathead in him, though. he's not even trying to be right. He's just like, this sounds right to me. I'm going to go 302 grand next year. Like, look what I did last year.
He is a total meatball.
I love it.
Total meatball. And he's awesome. Like, that dude is unbelievable. But that math is so wrong.
It's like,
but
Tommy Boy, just a big dumb animal, folks.
I can just see where he's coming from. Yeah, 300 carries, 2,000 yards. Sounds pretty good to me.
Love it.
Let's do it. Let's put the pads back on. I'm ready to go right now. OTAs, I'm going to rip someone's shoulder off.
I'm going to go for a grand in OTAs this year.
You're not even medically cleared yet. That is the epitome of a football player.
Oh, yes, it is.
Like, you talk about guys, Jay-Z, and I know that, you know, you've played football long enough at a high enough level. You got guys that love football and guys who are good at football that maybe don't love football. Mm-hmm. That guy loves football.
He loves everything about football. Just not even the games. He loves everything about it. His hands are probably ripped up from bars in the weight room. Like, he's not wearing, you know, he's not taking care of that.
Gloves.
Yeah. I would hope not, but yeah, none of that.
Belts.
Yeah. He's just ripping everything. Like, he's like proud of it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he can't even hold a football now, but look at what you did to yourself.
Look at me. Look at me go. I mean, that guy's as football as it gets. They're a dying breed, Justin.
They are a dying breed.
He's just remarkable.
For one reason or another.
Well, maybe the same reason that his math is not correct.
Exactly.
We'll leave that for a later day. I was reading this today from Rancho's Palos Verdes, California. I love that. Big Ten spring meetings going on out there. Adam Rittenberg had a chance to talk to Ward Emanuel, athletic director up at Michigan.
Last man standing.
Seriously. I mean, that was quite the wild ride that Ward Emanuel has been on for the last 5 years. Honestly, pretty surprised that he didn't go down with the ship as well.
He blows my mind.
Like, he's still there.
He's in charge of everything that was going on, and everything went on, and people were arrested and fired and show caused.
All millions and millions of dollars.
Ward is just like, didn't see that coming. I don't know what happened here, I guess.
So let me just list off everything that's happened. He's led the athletic department since January 2016, so he's been there for 10 years. Acknowledged the challenges Michigan has faced during the last 5 years. Even amid great success, Michigan won 3 straight Big Ten titles, a national title in football, and in April captured its first men's basketball national championship since 1989. Michigan also went through the sign-stealing scandal involving football coaching staff member Connor Stallions, the federal indictment of former assistant football coach Matt Weiss, and football coach Sharon Moore, obviously fired and arrested in December. Nowhere did this mention Jim Harbaugh being show cause and also leaving on the heels of a national championship. Here's what Ward Emanuel had to say. I always aim for steadiness, believe me. All right? This is not anything that I've desired or wanted or hoped for, but I deal with it. And then, you know, my goal as a leader is to provide the steadiness. The rest of the department and my staff, the student athletes, I think I and we have done that as a department in the organization, and I don't take any of it lightly. It's not something that I welcome, but it's something that we've dealt with. I guess when you deal with that much of it, you become pretty adept and pretty good at dealing with it. And, like, that's a lot of stuff that Ward Manuel's had to deal with up there in Michigan. He's been there for 10 years now. I mean, all that stuff going on in the last 5 years, like, that's a power-packed last 5 years for him.
A lot of bad allegations too.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it wasn't
some
just
of them removing allegations.
Well, yes, exactly.
And actually, like federal law.
Yeah, big time. Yeah, like not just a show cause to coach football anymore. Yeah. Like, where are you going to be spending some time?
Yeah,
you know, that
federal
that sort
prison.
Of, yes, that sort of thing. I don't know how he survived it, but somehow he did. And you know, when you're in that position, yeah, you just got to weather the storm, and that's basically what he's trying to do until. I think they might still need a new president up that way. They might still have an interim president.
Yeah, I think
you know,
you're right.
I don't know if that, you know, I don't know if that's like a NFL team where you got to get the GM and then they bring in their coach, or you know, like I don't know if you get a president who brings an AD in, who brings you know a coach in. But you know, we talked about earlier, they fell into a great coach this past year, mm-hmm. so maybe they don't have to worry about that right now. But you know, he's just trying to make the best he can in this situation.
Dusty Mayhire was great.
Yeah, Dusty Mayhire was great. They didn't get their national championship for football taken down. Nothing yeah. really happened with any of that. You got your Big Ten title still. You got that. Those coaches just aren't allowed to coach anymore. And you never really had to admit anything. So for as much as everybody knows about what happened, like they kind of just got off scot-free in a way.
Yeah, they did.
Other than a fine.
$20 million.
Yeah, $20 million, which they would take that every day for a national championship.
I saw them all over social media like the last couple of weeks, like, you know, they invested X amount of dollars in OpenAI, and that's now worth a certain amount. I'm like, well, you can't put that money into NIL because that's illegal. But maybe with the track record,
yeah,
will be going.
Yeah,
to NIL.
Like,
I don't know.
Rules don't apply.
I did like how like after this very serious conversation that Adam Rittenberg was having with Ward Manuel pivoted to the 2014 college football playoff. argument, because I feel like that's what everybody was out there in Rancho's Palos Verdes.
Yeah, he's
for.
Like, let's not talk about the back.
let's, inside the walls.
Look over here. Shiny thing over here. 24 teams.
Yeah, inside the walls of Pyongyang. We're all coming out of this saying that the 2014 playoff agreement is the best. He said, I can't envision a world where that would happen. Talking about sitting their starters for the Ohio State-Michigan game. I don't think it devalues it at all. I think it actually increases the value, in my opinion, because more games become more important at the end of the season. I can't see anybody saying that they'll rest. I can't see Alabama and Auburn, and obviously I just said that we wouldn't. I wouldn't see it that way. I'm glad to see at least Ward Manuel's coming out and saying, no matter what the stakes, no matter even if Ohio State and Michigan are guaranteed both to make a 2014 college football playoff, that you are not resting.
That's really easy to say right now.
As an athletic director
who's trying to push this through for whatever the reasoning they have to try and push the 2014, they're all on board, and who knows what's going to happen. I mean, if we go into the Ohio State Michigan game 1-5 and we're just like everybody gets a bye, or you know, however that plays out, what does that look like? So you can come out and say it, because yes, you want to get everybody on board. Oh no, those games are really still going to mean something. It's like, all right, yeah, we believe you because we want to believe you.
I said it
because
earlier
to
in the
us,
week,
it does matter.
I said jail to the coach that rests your starters in the Ohio State Michigan game. Jail time. The first coach that does it will be the last.
Until they go win a national championship that year. And then it's just like, that was really smart. Something bad could have happened. You're in the playoff no matter what. You didn't need to play your starters. I mean, it's just a slippery slope
of bad
things.
That's a world I don't want to live in.
I don't want to live in that one.
I don't want to be in that.
No.
I don't want to do that.
No, please no.
Spencer Holbrook of Letterman Row. He's going to join us. We'll talk some Buckeyes with him coming up here in 2 minutes. It's the Buckeye Show on The Fan.
Pro has been family owned and operated for over 64 years. We take pride in developing long-lasting relationships and offering first-class customer service. Need a new tractor, parts for your used equipment, or reliable service? AgPro has you covered. AgPro is here to serve you and your operation as your hometown dealer. Visit us today at any of our AgPro locations or go online to agproco.com to get started with your AgPro experience.
Already prepping for next week's matchup? Get your best rest yet with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's and choose from PillowSoft plush dual feel and extra firm mattresses with Bob-O-Pedic memory foam that will have you dreaming of game day in no time. So shop in-store or online to score the latest in affordable luxury mattresses without the luxury price tag. Bob's Discount Furniture, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
The Buckeye Show is sponsored by CareSource. Proud to be your home for Ohio State Athletics. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
All Buckeyes, all the time. You are listening to The Buckeye Show.
Hanging out with my guy Justin Zwick here this evening. Thanks everybody for listening. I want to let you know that we're here on the Buckeye Show, brought to you by our good friends over at CareSource. Right now we head out to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Checking with our guy. It's been a while since we talked to him. He is Spencer Holbrook. Spence, thanks for the time. Always appreciate it. Is it bedtime for you and the lovely new addition that you've had to your family? How have the last 6 or 7 weeks gone for you, buddy? And a big congratulations on the addition.
Beamer, congratulations to you as well.
That's a second one.
All kinds of babies going around. I love this.
That's all right. It's been fun. The sleep is hard to come by, but it's expected, and also it's entirely worth it. It's the greatest 6 weeks of my life. I'm not going to complain at all about it. And we'll get them to bed here in due time.
Yeah, that's fine, right? I mean, either they will or they won't sleep. That's kind of like where I've gotten.
There's
Spencer.
Nothing you can really do.
Yeah, it's like either they will or they won't. We'll find out a little bit later tonight, I guess.
They sleep. Hey, so far he sleeps when I don't want him to, and I want to introduce him to new people. And when I want him to sleep for 8 hours, he has no interest in that. So that's just kind of how it goes.
That is correct. And you know what? It'll be like that for a few years, Spence. So just ready yourself for that. Spencer, I know that you've been doing a lot of writing over at Letterman Row, and I like kind of the preview that you're doing against Ohio State opponents and your post-spring reaction to what's going on with the Ohio State opponents. What have you learned most about a future Ohio State opponent in doing kind of that exercise?
Yeah, it's kind of the bookends that I've learned so far, and then there's one in the middle. So with Texas, I really like that Texas team, and I think that is going to be just an outright war down there. It seems like from the people down there that Arch has taken the next step, and I think that's big, and that they've kind of got some things figured out defensively that they didn't like last year, although I thought they were pretty good defensively last year, holding Ohio State to 14 points after all. The other bookend of that is the Michigan side of things. I talked to one of the Michigan beat writers. That Michigan secondary is going to be very, very good. Jair Hill is one of the best corners in the country, in my opinion. Zeke Berry's back at one of the safety spots. If Rod Moore's healthy, I'm not kidding. That's probably a top five, top 10 secondary in college football. So that's just something else to contend with. And then we ran the Indiana one today, and I was a little stunned because the Indiana beat writer told me, Alec told me that Indiana might be more athletic and versatile on defense next year. And that Cignetti is like talking pretty confidently, which, I mean, Kurt Cignetti and confidence is peanut butter and jelly at this point. But that the Indiana team that I thought I was going to hear about, and the Indiana team that I did hear about, maybe that's just some highs coming off of a national championship. We know how that kind of goes here in Columbus. But it seems like Indiana, those are kind of the top three that everybody seems to care about for this upcoming season. And it seems like those three teams are all on a pretty good trajectory. So, yeah, a lot more to learn about this schedule. We ran the Iowa one, and then there's even a lot to learn about the Hawkeyes. So it's been fun kind of diving into that and then figuring out how everybody else's spring went, just because we know on such a deep level how Ohio State did this spring.
I know you've only dove into a couple, but we were talking earlier about, Big Ten teams who maybe might jump out at us as somebody who, is on the way up, or maybe just a little bit better than we thought they would. Is there a team in the Big Ten that you think sticks out to you?
I think I would go USC just because.
Popular answer.
Common theme to me.
Yeah, with Jaden Maeva back. Wayman Jordan back at running back, King Miller's back at running back. Those two, I think, are going to make a really strong 1-2 punch. They've recruited really well, and they're spending at one of the highest levels in the sport. I think there's going to be some freshmen on that team that kind of make an impact and surprise some people. And then I will say, that Iowa team, I'll never count them out. And, it'll be 9 years since Ohio State went there last, and we don't need to remind everybody what happened when they went there last. Mm-hmm. But the skill positions are a big question mark, but you feel like defensively they're going to have something to say, and I think they're going to be pretty good. And so that trip just seems interesting to me. Everybody wants to circle Oregon, Texas, Michigan, USC, Indiana, and then there's that early October trip to Iowa, and I just think that people are going to forget about that one when they're breaking down the Ohio State schedule until they can't forget about it anymore, and I think that's going to be pretty interesting.
He is Spencer Holbrook of Letterman Row with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Spence, you said you'll never count Iowa out, but in a new world in which Tony Petitti is leading the college football, charge, and he's going to get a 24-team playoff, Will you ever count Iowa, even though they'll be in the college football playoff like 95% of the time in a 2014 playoff, will you ever consider them national champion favorites?
No, I thought it was funny, though. The post-spring top 25s were all coming out, and you're scrolling down through them, and it's, you know, Ohio State's in the top five, and Texas, and Michigan's somewhere around like 11 to 15, and you get down into the 20s, and I think it's just by default. It's like Iowa, Missouri, it's just that same like
collection. Auburn.
Yeah, Auburn, Houston, yeah. You know, the same collection of three or four teams is always there at the bottom. And so, you know, that race for the 24th college football playoff seed is going to be pretty interesting. I think it will have a heavy Hawkeye tilt to it. It just seems like they're always right there. And so I did have a laugh when I saw the post-spring power rankings and everything that just, you know, by default, I think they just put Iowa at 23.
I did a tier list for the Big Ten last week, Spencer, and I put Iowa was in a tier of its own, said we are who you think we are. And it's just, it's Iowa football. Like, they're the exact same team every year. So we're looking forward to that. Buckeyes got a tough schedule, got to go on the road to Iowa City coming up here again this year. Where do you land on the whole 2014 college football playoff talk? Everyone on the Big Ten who was at the spring meetings in California, I'm sure, was briefed on having a positive reinforcement of what a 2014 college football playoff would mean, Spencer. They're kind of inside of the walls. It seems that they were all kind of briefed on that. Where are you at with this expansion number? Greg Sankey staying at 12, and just all this kind of offseason madness we're in right now.
I mean, if you have to have a playoff like this, and we can't just go back to two and then the BCS games, because that's always been my sweet spot, because that's what I grew up on, admittedly. I think 12 is probably the answer to me. The regular season still means something. I hate, you know, as much as you hate to admit it, looking back, the fact that Ohio State, you know, lost to Michigan as a 24-point favorite and went on to win the national championship, like, you know, if that's a different school other than Ohio State, and we're in Columbus, so obviously it's different, but, you know, you probably say like, oh man, like, it kind of feels weird that they were able to still play mm-hmm. for the championship just because sure. of what we know mm-hmm. from college football for so many years. 24 makes that even worse. You know, my litmus test, guys, to be honest, is would the 2013 Iron Bowl have still mattered with the kick six? Because mm-hmm. like that sent Auburn to the BCS National Championship game. It sent Alabama home. Would that kick six still have mattered? You know, would the double overtime Ohio State Michigan game still have mattered? The answer in a 2014 playoff is unequivocally no. Like, absolutely not. It would have meant absolutely nothing other than bragging rights. And in a sport where we're getting more national, we're getting more transfer heavy, and the rivalries have already been, in my opinion, a little watered down because it's not guys from Ohio against guys from Michigan. It's not Alabama prospects who choose between Auburn and Alabama anymore. It's more national. I already think that the rivalries have shifted a little bit, and I just worry that that would make it even worse. I understand why, you know, a Maryland or a Nebraska would want a 2014 playoff. You know, Maryland's spending at a high level right now. That's another team. If I had to go back and answer that, I like this Maryland team a little bit more than I thought I would. Don't tell Austin Ward because he'd kill me for saying something.
Yes, he would.
But, you know, I understand why schools like that want a 2014 playoff, because if they spend at a top 25 level, they can actually expect to make a college football playoff and hang a banner that says they went to the playoff. But when you're talking about the top teams in the sport, like if there's a 2014 playoff, Ohio State's never missing the playoff again, yeah. like ever. And that kind of sucks, because this year, the conversation, even with a 12 team, it's like, man, Ohio State's schedule is really tough. And if they go 9-3, they might have the best 9-3 in the country and be on the outside looking in. And like, the regular season's still going to mean something in Columbus. If there's a 2014 playoff, Ohio State could go 8-4, and I still think they'd be in the playoff because of who they would have beaten on their way there. So it just waters everything down to me. I've never liked 24, but again, you know, there's 18 schools here in the Big Ten. And for the Washingtons and Marylands and Nebraskas and UCLAs, like, this 2014 idea is probably great because they're going to have an opportunity to get in.
Well, Ward Manuel came out and said he never would see Michigan resting a starter in an Ohio State-Michigan game. If this goes down the road you're talking about, do you think we'd ever see that day?
I don't think that it's about resting starters per se. It's just, you know, when you need a yard – and you know that both teams are already in, And, you know, the mindset changes, and, yeah. and these guys are all competitive. I understand that it's not, you know, you want to win and you hate that team across the field, but also, like, you can't tell me that, you know, you get ramped up the same for the Ball State game as you do for the Oregon game. Well, if the Oregon game means as much as the Ball State game because it's a 2014 playoff, what are we doing here? You know, yep. NFL teams go 9-8 and still make the playoffs and have a chance to win the Super Bowl. I hate that. But that's but
not
that's
for your parity. Steelers, Spence. What are you talking about? That's exactly what they're going to do with Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers this year.
Yeah, I'll say it a different way. The NFL teams can walk their way into 9-8 into the playoffs and get their tails kicked in the first round. You know, we see that every year. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think that there's ever going to be starters rested, but I just think that, like, the stakes matter. And, like, I think back to the 2023 Ohio State-Michigan game, 30-24. Ohio State's got the ball on the 35-yard line with an opportunity to go score. There's so many one-loss teams that year in college football. We knew that the loser of that game at 11-1 should probably still be in the college football playoff as one of the four best teams in the country, but they weren't getting in. Mm-hmm. That game meant something. In a 12 team, it means less, but it still meant, you know, Big Ten championship, first round bye. In a 24 team, you know, I question how much that game would matter at all, other than just bragging rights. And so, you know, I understand what Ryan Day was saying when he mentioned the Scott Docterman at The Athletic about, you know, eliminating the conference championship games, but then Ohio State Michigan would mean more when it comes to the 2014 playoff. I understand that argument. I just don't necessarily agree with it.
Yeah, I'm with you, Spence. I think there's a whole lot of tentacles to expansion, mm-hmm. or expansion, and that's only one part of it. All right, before we get you out of here, you are the noted nephew of Aunt Karen Holdridge.
Absolute drunken orgies.
How many breweries has the little lad been to? I mean, it's nice. He's in the stroller. You can put him in the car seat, just pack up and go. Like, how many has he been to?
Yeah, he's a frequenter of the local Mexican restaurant down in Grove City, to be honest with you guys. So my wife and I joke that going to restaurants is the only time we get to eat a hot meal together.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, when we make food at home, he decides that he doesn't want to sleep during the meal. Mm. But when he's in the car seat and he's in the sling and we're at a restaurant, he's dead asleep. I think we're going to start playing some cafe noises while we're trying to eat just to see if that soothes him, puts him to sleep. Actually, no breweries yet.
Wow.
We'll get there this summer, some patios. Mm-hmm. But he's been to a couple restaurants. He sleeps right through them. I just hope that he starts sleeping during dinner so I can actually eat a meal after I cook it.
Pro tip, car seat on the chair in the house, Spence. Mm. You know, just bring the stroller. Yeah, bring the stroller inside and reenact that you're eating at a restaurant. Yeah. He doesn't know any better.
Open the front door. Yeah. Welcome. Your seats are ready for you.
Folks, these are the parenting tips you can only get on 97.1.
That's right, the Buckeye Show.
Spencer, appreciate the time. Again, another big congratulations mm-hmm. to you and your lovely wife. Have a great rest of the evening, buddy. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll check in again soon, all right?
Thanks, guys. Always appreciate it.
There you go. It's our guy, Spencer Holbrook of Letterman Row, with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We've got a first in an event that's been going on for 94 years, and it all revolves around some Buckeyes. We'll do that next. It's the Buckeye Show on the Fan.
Whatever you're doing right now, just know that Bo Bishop is enjoying a sip of bourbon. Even if this promo is playing in the morning, no judgment.
Ah, sweet morning drinking.
The Fan.
The body cancer divides, but inside the James, we unite. With nearly 300 cancer specialists, each focused on a single type of cancer, and over 1,500 researchers relentlessly pursuing new discoveries and sparking new hope. So if you just heard the words, you have cancer, you should know this. We heard them too. And there's no better team in the nation to create a cancer-free world. The James at Ohio State.
Come on over to Heartland. Join our family.
Now, where can you get a full suite of business banking services served up by well-trained, caring employees with unquestionable integrity? It's right here at Heartland. Relationships matter. I'm Scott McComb. Come over to Heartland, where banking really feels good.
Where banking feels good.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Last year, Eric Reeser and T-Bone staged the first annual Fan 5K. People had a good time and no one died. So we decided to do it all again. It all goes down Saturday, June 20th in Otterbein.
Presented by the Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center.
Will Reeser's muscular calves explode? Will T-Bone's beard choke him while running? More importantly, will Tyvis Common Man and Timmy make total fools of themselves?
Maybe.
Magic 8-Ball says, signs point to yes.
Register today at 971therace.com.
Experience Buckeye Game Day like never before. Welcome to the 1922 Club, the most exclusive space inside Ohio Stadium, where luxury meets tradition in the heart of Buckeye Nation. Enjoy upscale food and beverages and a game day atmosphere like no other. Create lasting memories with friends and mingling with other Buckeye fans and celebrate every OHIO in ultimate comfort. Become a member of the 1922 Club today. Memberships are limited. Visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com.
Hello, I'm Ross Bjork, Senior Vice President and Eugene Smith Wolf Foundation Endowed Athletics Director at The Ohio State University. In partnership with AEP, Donato's, Kroger, The Ohio State University, Wexner Medical Center, Huntington, and 10TV, Ohio State Athletics strives to inspire the community to make a positive impact on children and families in our great state through the Buckeyes Care Initiative. Show and share your support in the community by using the hashtag BuckeyesCare.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Are we drinking the Scarlet and Gray Kool-Aid? You bet we are. You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
Coming up at 8 o'clock, something else entirely. I think Westwood One Radio is coming up at 8. We got no Buckeye baseball game tonight. That was a little bit earlier in the day. Nate, if you confirm that for me, I think we're just going to something else.
We are just going to not us. Westwood One.
Okay. Yeah. I wasn't quite...
The Buckeye Show will be over.
I wasn't very confident in me saying that, but I was pretty sure that it wasn't. We didn't have anything on tap tonight. You can join us for the Fan 5K presented by the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center. 5K run, 1 mile walk, all happening Saturday, June 20th up at Otterbein in Westerville. Some of your favorite fan personalities will be there. 10TV's Adam King, Nicole Sheeran, they'll be running the race. And every participant gets a finisher's medal, a race shirt, free photos, and awesome gifts from Logan Services. You can sign up today at 971therace.com. Did you catch the Cavs last night, Jay-Z?
I caught some of the second quarter, maybe a couple minutes in the second quarter.
Good.
You had a good time.
Yeah, well,
fine.
I didn't know they were up 20 points until later this or earlier this morning. I guess.
When I mean, I told,
got up to check it.
We
almost hit a three to win the game at the end of the game.
Oh, it was
in and out. I saw
three
that
quarters of the way down.
Oh man!
I mean,
yeah,
Struce was on the bench for the whole 30-8 run or whatever it was that Mike Brown and the Knicks went on.
No timeouts were called. I guess everybody's on the coach up there for not calling a timeout.
No, they didn't call any timeouts. Like, man, you're seeing a 22-point lead go to 19, and then it's down to 15 and 10, and anytime you get into single digits with like 3 minutes left to play in the NBA, you know that all hell can break loose. I mean, that's three possessions that game can change. And they did. Jalen Brunson went nuts in that game. But that leads us to our fan poll sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub. You can vote on that at 971thefan.com or on X at 971thefan. Do you think the Cavs can come back and beat the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals? I was talking to Common Man and Timmy about this. They're like, series over. It's one game. So what, you think they're done? Just one game out of the gates.
Yeah,
done.
Nah, come on.
As long as James Harden is on the team, done.
Everybody said that against the Pistons, and they came back.
Playoff James.
They were down 2-0, and they come back. They lose game six at home. We're done.
Yeah, we're toast.
And we were up 20 points in the Garden.
You can do it.
It's a different thing when you're like losing by like one or something like that. It's like when you blow
a 22-point
lead. And but have nothing, like you show nothing.
Yeah. The optimist is going to say, hey, we're up 20 points. We could do that again, and we just hold on to it.
That's right.
All you need we're at their place.
You
we didn't expect to win that first game anyway.
You can be up 22 points and give up 21 points. Just don't give up that 22nd.
Just
or score another basket.
Yes.
You know?
But, I mean, so they didn't get blown out is my only point. There's some kind of excitement. Like, hey, we did this. We threw it away, but we were still there.
But I think inherently with this fan poll, it's worded tricky. Do you think the Cavaliers can come back and beat the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals? Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I do. Do I believe that they will? I don't know about that. That's a whole different conversation.
Any Cleveland sports fan is going to say no, because that's how it goes.
I saw Dave Holmes tweet this like last night. He's like, I've been watching the Cavs for a long time. That was the worst loss in franchise history. I'm like, that's saying something for a sports city that's like that scorned, and you've got like the shot, the whole Mark Price, the push.
Yeah,
like,
maybe we remember the 20-point one that got away.
Yeah, who knows? Could be NBA champions.
The Danhausen curse is real. It's what we learned last night.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, that was crazy, man. Yeah, so like, as you know, if you've been listening to the show, I've had some back issues since, you know, last week. So I'm piddling around the house and I'm, you know, setting up my, I guess, you know, annexed bedroom because I can't sleep on my own mattress. I'm like, all right, I go between the second firm mattress on the trundle bed for William that I've pulled out of there. And I'm alternating between that and the floor and the couch, like whatever's comfortable. So like I settle in and I'm looking at the TV. I'm like, all right, sweet. Cavs are up 20. I'm like deathly close to texting Shark, who is the biggest diehard Cleveland sports fan that there is, in his retirement. I don't even know where he's at right now, but I know that he was watching the Cavs game. And I'm like, I'm close to texting him, like, all caps, Cavalanche. And in my mind, though, I said to myself, I'm like, I'm not going to do it.
Don't chase him.
I'm just going to hold off on it because you got to see it to believe it. There's still time left in this game, but certainly they're going to hold on to win. And it just kept ratcheting down, and the energy in the garden kept going up. Mm. And boy, when they tied that game at the very end, I mean, it was like they had lit a match and just poof, like you knew in overtime that they were going to lose, though. Like, they just straight up got blitzkrieged.
Well, that's why I saw the final score, and I was like, oh, well, we got blown out. And then I was like, oh, it went to overtime. All right, well, hey, we were in the game. Oh, we were up 20 points, and then it went to overtime.
Yeah, it was tough.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
It was a tough one. But do I think they can come back in the series?
I think they can.
Yeah, they're
professional. I thought they were done in the Pistons series. So they came back on that one.
I mean, I think
they'll be faith. Fun. Let's go.
I don't know if they'll win the series, but they'll win a few games.
I hope they do. I put a little wager on them way back.
How much? How much? Oh, what's the payoff?
I think I put like $20 on it.
To win
$60
to win the championship.
Yeah, to win the Eastern Conference Finals.
Oh, all right.
I didn't have win though. I'm like, maybe we get through the Eastern Conference, you know, here, and we'll see.
Yeah,
got six games to go.
Yeah, listen, you're still there. All right,
still there. Have a chance.
Listen, all you need to do is win four out of the next six.
Yeah, that's it.
It's not 66.66 repeating, of course. It's what Cam Scatabo needs to average to get to 2,000
yards. All the guys have to do is win one more game and they'll win the series.
Justin, had a great time with you this evening. Enjoy your rest of the week, and I'll talk to you again next Wednesday.
Yes, sir.
Everyone have an awesome evening. Austin is in with me tomorrow. Something else is up next right here on The Fan.
There's nothing Bo Bishop can't do well, except find competent co-hosts. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing, or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry the Bahamas and USA.